Disciples for Such a Time as This is the theme for the 2018 Spiritual Renewal Missions Conference at Bethany Baptist Church. In a world where there are millions of people who are hurting and being persecuted, the followers of Jesus Christ need to be informed and take a stand. Join us September 12th through the 16th. Your hearts will be spiritually renewed, and you will be encouraged by those on the front lines carrying the gospel message of Jesus Christ around the world. This year, we have a power-packed lineup of missionaries and speakers. Dr. Ron Peters will be our keynote speaker every evening. Reverend Ed Glover and Andrew Churchill from Urban Impact. Reverend Jim and Jennifer Bowers from Maui, West Africa. Dave Hinton, News in the Bible, a special missionary from the Middle East. Rabbi Jeff Kipp of Chosen People Ministry. They will all be with us. Music will be by the Bethany Praise Team, Sounds of Worship and Kevin Smith, the Voices of Faith. Wednesday evening through Friday evening, the services begin at 7 p.m. There will be a Saturday morning seminar on human trafficking. You don't want to miss this dynamic presentation from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. Saturday afternoon will be the international dinner at 4 p.m. Come, join us, and bring a friend or family member with you.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will conclude the Feast of Tabernacles from our series, The Feasts of Israel. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of the Feast of Tabernacles.
Is a lesson of deliverance. And that is, the Hebrew people were not to forget that God delivered his people from Egyptian bondage. God's people today must not forget God's great deliverance when he sent his son to set us free from the chains of sin. God says, I want you to remember the fact that I delivered you out of Egypt, that you were a slave in Egypt, that you were bound and you were tied up in Egypt, and that I brought you out through the wilderness, that there was a great deliverance. And so he says to us as Christians, don't you know that you were chained? And don't you know that you were slave to sin? And that Jesus Christ came and he set you free from sin. You know, it's amazing when you look at God's people. And they're strung out on addictions, and they're caught up into all type of habitual sin, and they're dealing with all of that when God has set you free. You know, it goes back to Juneteenth in Texas, right? That Abraham Lincoln had freed all the slaves, but the slaves in Texas didn't know that, and they continued to serve as slaves. Until finally the message got through that you have been set free. And see, that's the problem with some of God's people. Some of God's people is the fact that you've been delivered, you've been set free, but you're still laboring under the bondage to sin, to addiction. And you need to begin to walk in the freedom that Jesus Christ gives. There's been a great deliverance that has taken place in our lives. I don't know about you, but I can look back at my life and I see some of the things I did. And sometimes I look back and I just shake my head and I said, man, how could you do something like that? And then I go to the fact that, man, Christ has set me free, that he has loosed me from all of that stuff. And why, if I've been unloosed, why do I want to go back and tie myself up again? But we see people that continuously do that. You've been set free, and you tie yourself up again. Thank God for this deliverance. Thank God that we have been set free. But look at the second lesson that we learned from Sukkot, and it's this. It's a lesson of dependence. All of God's children must humble themselves under the mighty hand of the Lord and trust him to take care of them, just like he took care of the nation of Israel in the wilderness. Look, at I put down some of the things that he protected. He protected them from fiery serpents. He watched over them. He put his hedge of protection around them from fiery serpents. Look at this. He provided water from the rock in Deuteronomy 8:15. He gave them manna from heaven, Deuteronomy 8:16. He provided quails from the sea in Numbers 11:31-32. And he gave them shoes and clothes that never wore out. I don't know about you, but I know that, you know, all of us buy stuff that wears out. God gave them clothes and shoes for 40 years that never wore. Now, can you imagine? I don't think they were going through the wilderness with 2 and 3 pair of shoes. I think they only had 1 pair. And they walked for 40 years and their shoes didn't wear out. Neither did their clothes wear out. I remember my first suit that I got when I was preaching. My dad bought it for me. I came to Pittsburgh, and he bought me this brown pinstripe suit. And I wore that suit so much that it turned into a brown suit. I wore the pinstripe off of that suit. And then, you know, you got to get rid of the suit when it starts wearing thin, you know, in other places. I was patching it up and everything else. And that wasn't even, you know, that was about 5 years. Man, just think how powerful God is, that he took care of them for 40 years and he provided for them. And so God said, when you set these tents up and you eat that one meal a day and you sleep out there one night during the week, remember that I was the one that took care of the people in the wilderness. They didn't lack anything. Anything they needed, I made sure that they had. And as God's children, and as we sit here today, we need to realize that God is going to provide everything that we need. He may not give it to us when we want it, but he always comes right on time. He might not give it to us when we cry out, but you know what? His help is on the way. Man. To learn how to trust God. Man, when I look at this, and see, you know, the problem is that we say, well, you know, that's way back there. You know, that happened for them. That happened when they were going through the wilderness. You know, God was doing this for them. No, man, if you're a child of God, he will provide for you right now. He will provide for you right now. I remember when we moved here to Pittsburgh, and we bought our house, and the realtor told us that we needed, I think, about $6,000 to close. And we knew that when we closed on our house in Virginia, we were going to get $3,200. And so I just said, Lord, you're going to work this out. I don't know how, but you're going to work it out. Some people say, well, you were a fool, man. Well, you know what? When you don't have, you know, you just got to trust. And so we had gone down, and my wife and I went to the realtor to close. And my kids, they were still at the house. And while they were there, they turned the phone off. So our phone communication was shut down. And so we drive to Pittsburgh. We get in the van. We drive into Pittsburgh, knowing that when we sit down at this table, we're going to look like the biggest fools in the world, because we only got $3,200, and they were asking for about $6,000. So we drive up, man, you know, we're praying the whole way, had the kids praying. And we pull up in the North Hills where we closed at the realtor's office. And we came and sat down and went through all the paperwork. And they was getting ready to come to that moment, right, where you need to have the check so we can close the deal. And I'm sitting there, man, saying, man, you're going to look like a fool, man. You're going to look like the biggest fool in the world. And we sat there, and they showed us, they said, now we need the check. And he slid the amount across that we needed, $3,200. I said, praise God. Praise God. And what happened is that the realtor called and left a message with my kids and told them that we only needed $3,200. And they never said anything to us. I said, man, y'all had us driving all the way up here stressing out like that. But God provides You know, where God leads, he feeds. Where he guides, he provides. And where he directs, he protects.
We would like to take a short break. When the Lord gave the feasts in Leviticus 23, they were for more than just the Israelites to observe at that time. While we are not commanded to keep the feasts and celebrating them is not necessary for salvation, during our next Facebook Live event, Dr. William R. Glaze will show how understanding the feasts will give us a deeper appreciation for this great salvation we have in Jesus Christ and how the work of Christ is deeply rooted in these Old Testament celebrations. Tune in to Anchored in Jesus Facebook Live event Tuesday, September 18th at 7:30 p.m. You will have an opportunity to ask questions about Dr. Glaze's series, The Feasts of Israel. Looking forward to seeing you at facebook.com/ Anchored in Jesus Ministries. Welcome back. We will now return to today's message.
God will take care of you. And all we need to do is look back at the children of Israel and see how that he protected them from the fiery serpents. He gave them water from a rock. He provided manna from heaven. He gave them quails from the sea. And he kept their clothes and their shoes from wearing out. That's a lesson in dependence. Lord, I trust my hand to you. No other help I know. If you withdraw yourself from me, whither shall I go? Dependence upon the Lord. And then finally, how does this point to Yeshua? How does it point to Jesus Christ? Well, turn to John chapter 7. Now, this even gets deeper, right? This Feast of Tabernacles. It's really getting deep right here. Turn to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. John chapter 7, verse 1. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Judah because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' feast of what? Tabernacles was at hand. The Sukkot was at hand. Now if you go down, it says in my Bible, I have a Scofield Bible, and it has a title there, and it says, Jesus at the Feast of Tabernacles. In verse 10, but when his brethren were gone up, they also went up to what? The feast. What feast is that? Somebody help me out now. Somebody, what feast is that? Tabernacles. All right. The Feast of Tabernacles. All right. Now, at the Feast of Tabernacles, the Jewish people, the priest, he would go down to the pool of Siloam. He would take a golden pitcher down to the pool of Siloam, fill it with water, come back to the temple, and pour the water on the altar. The priest did that every year. Right during the Feast of Tabernacles, when the priest is doing this, and Jesus is in Jerusalem for the feast. Look what it said in John 7 and verse 37. At the last day, the great day of the feast. What feast is that? Tabernacle. All right. Jesus stood and cried out saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke of the Spirit whom they believed on should receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. What does Jesus do? In the midst of them celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles, he stands up and says, I'm the living water. Now, do you see why they wanted to kill him? Because they knew, the priests knew what that represented, and it didn't represent the same thing to them. But Jesus said, this water that you're going down getting, coming back and pouring on the altar in the temple, I'm the living water. If you drink from me, you will never thirst again. So as a Christian, when I think about the Feast of Tabernacles or Sukkot, I take it a step further than those who would just celebrate it from a Jewish holiday. I realize that I'm drinking from the living water, which is Jesus Christ, and that he satisfies all my thirst. He satisfies all my needs. If you're here today and you're thirsting, let me tell you about somebody who is the living water, that you can drink from this water, and he says you'll never thirst again. And the only reason that you'll thirst is when you stop drinking and you stop desiring to have the living water, that you can drink from the water of Christ and your thirst be quenched and satisfied. When I think of Sukkot, I think of Jesus, who is the living water. Now, let me share with you another thing. People would come from all around. And as they would come from all around, one of the things that they would do is that they would bring lights. And as they brought these lights, the priests would take the lights into the temple, and it would light up the temple during the Feast of Sukkot or the Feast of Tabernacles. And so it has been recorded that the temple at this time was so bright that you could see it for miles away. That's how bright the temple was during Sukkot, during the Feast of Tabernacles. What does Jesus say? Look at John chapter 8 and verse 12. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." He said that in the midst of these folk bringing lights to the temple, to light up the temple. And Jesus said, "I'm not a light that's going to light up the temple." He said, "I'm a light that lights up people's way in the darkness." That if you're lost and you don't know where to go, if it's dark and you can't find your way, that Jesus is that light that lights up. Family went down into the caverns one day, and they took a tour with several people, and they got into the heart of the cavern, and the guide had a light. And when he got into the heart of the cavern, he wanted people to understand how thick darkness was and how lonely darkness was. And so in the midst of that cavern, he turned off the light. And the little girl began to cry, and she said to her dad, she said, "Dad, I'm afraid because it's dark in here." And the dad said, "Don't worry, daughter. There's somebody here that knows how to turn the light on." Are you walking in darkness today? Do you find yourself in a dark place? When you leave here today, are you going to leave here from the light of this sanctuary and walk into a place of darkness? Let me tell you, there's somebody that knows how to turn the light on. You just need to let his light shine on you, that he lights up our way. And no matter how dark the way may seem, that there is one who can light your path and show you the brighter way. The third thing as a Christian that I walk away from this with, as it points to Christ, the Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot, and that is the fact that Jesus is coming again and that he's going to dwell among his people a second time. Look at John 1:14. John 1:14. It says, "And the Word was made flesh," Jesus Christ is the Word, "and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." That word dwelt. Oh, here we go again. Is the word for tabernacle. That's what that word, if you look in the Greek, it's the tabernacle. And the word did what? Set up a tent among us. Jesus pitched his tent among us with these old raggedy tents, pup tents and campers and holy tents and all the other stuff, all the other kind of tents, that Jesus pitched his tent among us, and he Sukkoted in his what? In his tent. He became like us. He identified with us. He lived in a tent just like we lived in, and we beheld his glory. And as I close, he's coming back again. He's coming back again, and he's going to what? Sukkot among us. Look at, and I'll close with this. Look at Zechariah chapter 14. Zechariah chapter 14. Right before the book of that Italian prophet, Malachi. This is talking about a future day when Jesus sets up his kingdom here on this earth. Look what it says here. When he tabernacles among us again, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all nations which came against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship King Jesus. Amen. The Lord of hosts. And look at this. And to what? And to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Throughout the millennium, we will celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles with Jesus Christ. He that left the glories of heaven and came and tabernacled among us, who went back to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father, will one day come back and tabernacle among us again. Are you longing for that day? You know, when I look at the world and I see Ebola all around, when we see people being all type of things happening to them over there by ISIS, and we look at even, you know, people that are just acting crazy in the world today, you know, I long for the Lord's return. I long for the Lord's return. I say, come quickly, Lord Jesus, because, you know, there's got to be something better than this right here. Lord, there's got to be something better than all the sin and all the evil and all the problems that are in the world today. And you know what? When Jesus comes back, all this foolishness is going to be cut out. When King Jesus is on the throne and the nations flock to Jerusalem and the nations come to worship him, that the world is not going to know peace until the Prince of Peace comes. We can't know peace. My brothers and sisters, let me tell you something, and I'm not a prophet of doom. I believe that we have the light, and we got to continue to spread this light. We got to let people know this good news. But if you read this book right here, the world is not going to get any better. It's really not going to get any better. And so we need to realize that God put us here for a reason, and we need to be about the business that the Father has put us for. And while we're here serving and while we're here working, we need to be longing for that day when we're going to be in the presence of the Lord. Man, just think of your loved ones that knew the Lord and that died. Where are they at right now? Man, they're in a place right now. They don't have to worry about Ebola. They don't have to worry about any type of physical harm being done to them. Why? Because they are in the presence of King Jesus. And one day he's going to come back and he's going to set up his throne on this earth. And he's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. And it's going to be a time of glory and a time of peace. But until that time, we serve and we hope. We serve and we hope. And we look forward to that day. One day we'll be victorious.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of the Feast of Trumpets from our series, The Feasts of Israel. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, The Feast of Tabernacles, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Feast of Tabernacles. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Feast of Tabernacles. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 6 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed into storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.